You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A lot of people are looking forward to Christmas right now, but without much expectation.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, in preparation for the celebration of your Son's coming to be the Savior of the world, light our lamps with faith and love toward him, that the tears of sadness may be turned into the smiles of gladness. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the good news of your Son Jesus, that we may know the joy of your salvation, hard won by his death for our sins, and freely offered to the world in his resurrection from the dead. In his saving name, we pray. Amen. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. This man, Simeon, referred to in Luke's history only as a man, but what a man, was the old lamplighter. Like the prophets of old, he lighted the lamps so that people could see in the darkness. Like John the Baptizer, he was not that light, but he was there to bear witness to the light. The old lamplighter went through the town in the old days, lighting the lamps on the streets and street corners in the evening, turning up the wicks or turning on the gas, and in turn, people were comforted. Just his being there was a sign of stability. When he left, the light was burning. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon, and he was a lamplighter. That man was righteous and devout. No one knows whether he was that way all his life, but he certainly was now. There's no telling how old the lamplighter was, but his profession was one that people had depended on for a long time. Because of him, when the darkness fell, you could still see. Without him, the night would have been black indeed. It may very well be that this old lamplighter had been a righteous and devout boy who became a righteous and devout young man, and now was living out his years as a righteous and devout old man. He may have been brought up by devout, righteous parents, and he may have been able to say about himself, as did the psalmist, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds." At any rate, he was not the kind of person who said to himself, "I will turn to the Lord and take him seriously when I am old." Older people find it very difficult to change their attitudes, especially when they've rejected God all their lives. I thank God for his grace every time I hear about an older person who has turned around, turned from himself or herself to God, accepting forgiveness for long years in the name of Jesus, and holding fast to him in the grace of baptism, just as apostolic Christians did of old. Not everybody gets that chance. After long years of rejection, people do not even want that chance. When the chance comes, they don't even recognize it. As long ago as 1899, Edwin D. Starbuck noted a singular fact. Between 6 years of age and 13, is a crucial period in the lives of people. Since that time, Gesell and other psychologists have noticed the same thing. They've noticed, as St. Paul did, with maybe more insight, there's no time like the present. The present begins before birth. The newborn baby begins to notice the world about him. First, he thinks it's his world, governed by crying and smiling, and sometimes a little screaming. I don't know of any time better than infancy for letting a child know whose world it really is. It's God's world, a great insight that comes to govern all of life. Luke says of the old lamplighter Simeon, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was a good man, his devotion genuine, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly expecting the Messiah. The old lamplighter went around lighting lamps with great expectation. The light was coming that would put these lamps into the shade. Simeon knew it because the Holy Spirit of God himself had told him so. A lot of people are looking forward to Christmas right now, but without much expectation. They have a vague hope that somehow, sometime in the busy season ahead, they will experience something that will not be exactly memorable, but at least different from the humdrum of everyday life. That expectation for a lot of people is pretty dim, because in other years, Christmas has left them with a real letdown. The whole Christmas story didn't last much more than the hour or so it took to tell it. At Christmas time, many people feel disappointed, lonely, empty, and even hurt. They aren't really expecting to get much of anything out of Christmas, but they're still disappointed. The story of the birth of Christ is brief, tantalizingly brief. It's about a stable, shepherds, angels, and wise men following a star. There's a lot of sentimentality because it's an appealing story. But now we come to this man, the old lamplighter. The Spirit of God had made known to Simeon that before he died, he would see the long-awaited Messiah, God's anointed one, the unfolding of God's promise to his people. At this moment, he came into the temple. Where would you find God's Messiah except in the temple? Jesus was in the temple a lot. First of all, brought as an infant by his pious parents. Later on, giving them a bad day when he stayed behind in the temple while they were on their way back to Galilee. And finally, coming on his own time after time to the temple dedicated to the God of Israel, undaunted by disappointment over the disposition of many of his own people to look elsewhere, in spite of the mighty works he had done before their very eyes. When Joseph and Mary brought the baby, Jesus, into the temple that day, Simeon recognized him as the Lord's Christ. He took the baby up in his arms and praised the Lord. It's a great thing to have such openness to the good news of God in the power of God's Spirit. Simeon was receptive to the Spirit's leading and guidance. How much Simeon would have missed had he disobeyed the voice of God that day. It's pathetic to see people, including older people, turning away from the strength and support God gives to serve him and also to worship him, instead of having in their hearts great expectations that are bound to be fulfilled by God, powerful to keep his promises. What Simeon saw and took into his arms was more than a precious little baby boy. It was the Savior of the world for that old lamplighter, and the lamp lighted for him was the torch of God. Simeon took up the baby Jesus in his arms, blessed God, and said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Nobody is too old or too young to understand that. Nobody lives in a darkness so deep that the light of Christ cannot be seen. People may turn away from it, but the light still burns brightly. The deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. Over this scene in the temple hangs the shadow of Christ's cross. The old lamplighter saw it coming. He said to Mary, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel. He will be a sign spoken against. The sword will pierce through your own soul also." That woman one day stood beneath that cross and watched her son die there. She accepted the duty and responsibility of burying the world's Redeemer by the power of the Most High God. It wasn't easy to begin with, but the end thrust a sword through her own soul. Even then, as all of us know, she did not give up. When the women went out to the tomb on the third day after his crucifixion, she was not there. Maybe it was because she did not expect to find him there. It could be that she was the only one who continued to believe him. On the third day, the Son of Man will rise again. Had he been alive 33 years later, would Simeon have been the other one to keep the faith? I don't know, but I do know this. He became the first lamplighter of the New Age and ushered in the Son of God and the Son of Man, the bearer and bringer of righteousness to those who have none, the forgiver of sins for those who have a lot of that, the giver of life to all who live by faith in him, bursting out with love, the true mark of people who follow him. The teacher of all of our children in their preschool years told us recently what happened in a class not so long ago. The teacher asked, "What does God give you, and what do you give to God?" The little boy answered, "God gives me his forgiveness, and I give him a lot to forgive." The old lamplighter, a righteous man and devout, took up the forgiver in his arms that day, blessed God, and said, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The old lamplighter had a way of saying things in simple words appropriate to the occasion, spoken with the wonder of a child. The greatest intellects in the world have their greatest moments when the insight of God comes to them with the wonder of a child. The child in the old lamplighter's arms had no halo around his head. He looked like an ordinary child. The only thing Simeon had to go on was the word and the promise of God. No more, no less. That's what all of us have to go on today. The word and the promise of God in that one child, of whom Martin Luther said, "How wonderful that the child of a poor, abandoned maid should become the king of the world." It does not make sense. Wonder brings faith. He who does not believe cannot understand, know, or see. He who understands cannot but wonder. Salvation is of the Lord. It surely is. Salvation comes from God. It surely does. When is the world going to understand, know, and see? If you've been going the wrong way apart from God, when are you going to understand, know, and see? Mary and Joseph marveled at the insight of the old lamplighter. If anybody could have bragged about his own virtues and paraded his own piety, this man could have, but he didn't. "My eyes have seen your salvation," said the old lamplighter, "which you've prepared in the presence of all people, the light of disclosure to the nations and the glory of your people Israel." He had seen the prophecy made to Abraham come true. "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The old lamplighter blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word." Now he was ready for the great journey. Now others could light the lamps for the world. They must be lighted by those who have the light. Now others could bring the story of salvation to all peoples everywhere. It's the greatest story ever told, and there will always be someone to tell it. Others will take the old lamplighter's place, including some whose eyes have not yet seen the salvation of God, prepared in the presence of all peoples. Human ingenuity has done fantastic things in our own generation. For the first time in history, human beings have escaped the gravitational pull of the Earth. The secrets of the atom have been explored, sometimes with beneficial and at other times destructive effect. Telescopes have peeked into the distant reaches of the universe. Machines have accomplished incredible feats. But no machine has ever been able to defeat the last enemy, which is death. No machine has, and no machine will be able to defeat death. But the Son of God and the Savior of the world has overcome death and its terror. The old lamplighter would have been pleased to hear Malcolm Muggeridge say at the annual meeting of the American Bible Society a few years ago, "One of these days I'm going to die, and on that day I shall be completely satisfied." People talk that way only when they hold the Christ child close to their hearts. The old lamplighter did that, to the surprise of everybody, right there in the temple of God. He blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. I have seen the Savior you have given to the world." The old lamplighter was blessed. He blessed God, not only in the living of hope, but in the dying of faith. He blessed God in his living and also in his dying. It's not death to die with faith in the living God. It is life, full of the faith that trusts God and full of the love that smiles upon people in the celebration of his birthday who has come to save the world. A lot of trust in God to you, and a lot of joy in the life God gives out of the goodness of his heart, in the Son he has sent, and in faith toward that Son, the light of the world, which the darkness of the world has never been able to overcome. Amen.